John's Gospel, Part 2. In Part 1 of this study, we see how John so clearly shows Jesus to be the Son of God. We continue the study from when Jesus spent his last hours on earth with his disciples in the upper room, celebrating the Last Supper. We begin this second part of John's Gospel in chapter 13. In the next five chapters, from chapter 13 to chapter 17, we read of what Jesus said and did while with his disciples in the upper room at the Last Supper, most of which is not recorded in the other three Gospels. In John 13, Jesus gathers the disciples to an upper room to institute the Passover, often referred to as the Last Supper, beginning with washing the disciples' feet. He then tells them someone is going to betray him, and then foretells Peter's denial of him. John 13 reads, "It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. When Jesus told the disciples someone in the room was going to betray him, they were confused. So Jesus, aware of their thoughts, said in John 13, verse 18, "I am not referring to you all. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill this passage of Scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another and at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple who Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one it means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus also prepared Peter, telling him he would deny him during his trial. And then Jesus, knowing all that is shortly to happen on the cross, how he was about to defeat the power of Satan, which will be of such magnitude for the redemption of the world, seeks to bring a reassurance to the disciples. Jesus prepares the disciples for when he leaves them, telling them he will be preparing a place in heaven for them and would be sending the Holy Spirit to be their guide and comforter. We read in John 14, verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way, the place where I am going." Jesus also reassures them that he will not leave them as orphans, but he will return. When he shortly returns to heaven, Jesus will live in them by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will bring them needed assurance and guidance. Jesus also reminds them to keep his commandments. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." Jesus now knows that it is near the time to leave the upper room and make his way with his disciples to the Mount of Olives, where he will be captured and put on trial. But before they leave the upper room, Jesus gives one final word of reassurance, John 14:25. "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come, now let us leave." In the following chapter, John 15, Jesus tells the disciples that when he returns to heaven, the disciples will still have a responsibility to live out a God-given life by the power of the Holy Spirit. They need to keep close to him. Jesus encourages the disciples to be grafted in him as the true vine. We read in John 15:5-9, "I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love." By bearing fruit, Jesus means for all of us to go out and make disciples. The instructions that he gave to the 11 disciples just before going up into heaven, recorded in Matthew 28:19. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Jesus then warns them that as his followers they will be persecuted, which he elaborates on in John 15, verse 18 to 25, but again reminds them the Holy Spirit will be with them to reassure, protect, and guide. John 15, 26 says, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." In John 16, the disciples begin to understand that Jesus will be leaving them for a little while, but in their grief they will turn to joy. He again warns them they will be persecuted for his sake, as they seek to share his good news of salvation, reminding them that those who follow him will live with him for eternity in heaven. We read in John 16, verses 1 to 5, "All this I have told you, so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this, so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I do not tell you this from the beginning, because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me." Jesus would be so aware of how much had happened and the amount of news he had conveyed to them during the Passover meal. A mixture of sadness, and yet Jesus seeks to reassure them. The Holy Spirit will be with them to give them much needed support. We read in John 16:12, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." John 16, verse 22 continues, "So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." Jesus again reminds them in John 16, verse 33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus now sets an example by praying for them and his future followers. He now hands everything to his Heavenly Father, who will fulfill all the desires of Jesus to lead, guide, and protect the disciples, as they will soon find themselves boldly venturing out to spearhead the church. Before he is arrested, Jesus now commits his disciples to his Father. So he prays in John 17. We read, "After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, 'Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those who you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by their name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now. But I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Jesus, knowing that with the explosion of Christianity and the building of the church, all future believers would need God's help and guidance, so he prays for all believers. In John 17:20, Jesus continues, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them." In the next chapter, John 18, when Jesus had finished praying with his disciples, he crossed over the brook Kidron to the Mount of Olives into a garden, the place where he would be arrested. John 18, 1-14 reads, "When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, 'Who is it you want?' 'Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'I am he,' Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, 'I am he,' they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he said to them, 'Who is it you want?' 'Jesus of Nazareth,' they said. Jesus answered, 'I told you that I'm he. If you're looking for me, then let these men go.' This happened so the words he had spoken would be fulfilled, 'I have not lost one of those you gave me.' Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, 'Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?' Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who advised the Jewish leaders that it would be good if one man died for the people. Jesus continues in John 18, 15-40 to describe how Jesus was questioned by the high priest and Pilate, and how Peter denied his Lord three times during the trial. In John 19, Jesus receives his final sentence without Pilate making a judgment. Pilate escapes his responsibility by handing Jesus over to the people to be crucified, John 19:16. In mockery, Pilate had a sign put over his head on the cross, which was truth. We read in John 19:19-21, Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Jesus, while on the cross, handed his mother over to John to take care of her, John 19:26-27. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple who he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son, and to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. They then buried Jesus' body in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. In John 20, early on the third day, the day after the Sabbath, Mary Magdalene hurriedly visited the tomb. She is the first to meet the risen Jesus. Jesus then appears to the disciples in the upper room, and again at the later date, when all of Thomas's doubts were squashed. John was very selective in what he wrote. He wanted everyone to know that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, and for us to know him and the way of salvation. He wrote in John 20, verse 30, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. In the next chapter, John 21, Peter became very disillusioned without his Lord. In spite of all that Jesus had conveyed to them in the upper room, he seemed to think that he and the rest of the disciples had no real future. John, together with his brother James, as well as Peter and his brother Andrew, had been fishermen before becoming disciples and followers of Jesus. They now felt the only way forward in their lives was to return to their original profession of fishing. But while they were out fishing, we read in John 21:1-14, afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two other disciples were there together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples who Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have been just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dare ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Jesus, having prepared a meal for them, took the opportunity to remind Peter as to what his true calling was in his life. Jesus asked Peter where his priorities lay, and gently reminded him in Matthew 16, verse 18, Peter, whose name means rock, was the one who would be the forerunner in commencing the church of God. We read in John 21, 15, "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said, 'you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' The third time he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep.'" The Acts of the Apostles follows the Gospel of John. In Acts 2, we read how the disciples would receive power when they received the Holy Spirit, giving them power and authority to go into all the world and make disciples. Once Peter was endued with the power of the Holy Spirit, he did not want to return to his old life. He would only seek to be a fisher of men. The instructions given by Jesus in Matthew 28, 16 to 20, just before he went back to heaven. In the closing verses of this last chapter in John's Gospel, Jesus now prepares Peter for what would lie ahead. For at the end of his life, he would suffer a martyr's death. Jesus tells us in John 21, 18 and 19, "Very truly I tell you, when you were hungry, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Here, Jesus reminds every true follower of his that if we love him, that dwells us together with him. He also reminds Peter and those listening that the one important thing to do is to continue to follow him. Peter also has to be reminded that whatever other fellow Christians around are seeking to do for Jesus, disregard what they are doing, he needed to focus on Jesus and keep following him. The closing verses of John Gospel 21, 20 to 25 reads, "Peter turned and saw that disciple who Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, 'Lord, who's going to betray you?' When Peter saw him, he asked, 'Lord, what about him?' Jesus answered, 'If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me.' Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, 'If I want him to remain alive until I return, What is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them was written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. If you were asked the same question Jesus asked Peter in Matthew 16:15, but what about you? Who do you say I am? Could you say with Peter, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God? Amen.